Good morning, everyone. It's Terrific Transformational Tuesday. It's October 8th, 2024. Welcome to Oh My Angels. I'm your host, Peggy, here on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to your angels. I'd love to have you join us in the 12radio chat room. To get there, if you'll go to 12radio.com, at the top of the page on the left-hand side, you'll see the word chat. Just click on that, and you'll get invited into the, it's a private chat room, so anything that you post in the chat room, you have to be a member to be able to see it. So know that you know, we preserve your identity. For first-time listeners, I share the first part of the show, then the second half of the show. Any questions that are posted in the Facebook page, I'll get you some answers. Besides hosting this show, I am an advisor at 12Listen, where I'm available every single day of the week. I also have my updated website, ohmyangels.com, where I also list my monthly angel scope, which is something I just recently started doing, and I've already posted October. So if you take a look at those, I'd appreciate it. I've gotten some good private feedback of people saying that they really resonated with what I had posted. So yeah, check them out and let me know what you think about them. Also, on the same webpage, you can find my on-demand from the radio shows that I do. They get posted on the 12radio.com page and under on-demand with my name. And then also on my website, there's a link on there for my on-demand, so you can get them either place. So if you don't get the chance to listen to me live, you can always catch me on-demand. Alrighty. Again, just a reminder, if you want any questions answered, post them in the Facebook page, and we'll get to those after the break. But before we get to today's show, I have to send prayers and blessings to all those that were impacted by Hurricane Helene. And now for those that are going to be impacted by Milton. This is just a horrific time. My heart and I get choked up even talking about, I've got friends down there, and just looking at the devastation on the TV, know that everyone there is in our thoughts and prayers, and we wish everyone the best of luck. So take care of yourselves. Today's show, I hadn't planned on doing anything like this for a while because I've talked about it before, but the angels reminded me that I think one of the reasons that I went through some of the things I've gone through is to where I could share my experiences with those that are going through something similar. So this month is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so today's show is all about that, about getting yourself checked every year. You know, I was just talking to my best friend on the phone earlier, and I said, yeah, I'm going to put this suggestion out there. Go with your best friend and make it a girl's day. You know, take your best friend, say, let's, you know, get our appointment set up. Let's go get our mammogram or sonogram or ultrasound, whatever you have to get. And it's going to be checked, and let's go have lunch or, you know, go to a show or do something fun. You know, make it a girl's day because your health matters. And you got to remember, early detection can be a lifesaver. You know, I'm one of those people who don't like doctors. I hate to say it, nothing against the medical field. I just don't like to go. You know, I maybe it's the fear of finding something wrong, or I don't know. And I don't know where the fear of doctors comes from, but I just have always not been real happy to have to go to the doctor. So I always put it off until there's something wrong. Well, in January 2013, I left the Kansas City area. I was getting ready to leave Kansas City area and move to Arizona, where my son and granddaughter had moved to. And so I still had insurance in January. So I went and, you know, got my dental stuff taken care of. I went and got my complete physical, which included, you know, getting a mammogram. So I got everything taken care of in 2013. And I moved to Arizona. So the whole time of when I first moved, again, I moved there in 2013. I think it was March, matter of fact, March of 2013. I didn't have insurance. I just, you know, I wasn't working. And then when I did go to work, I didn't take out the insurance. I just thought, yeah, I don't need it. You know, I was good and healthy at 2013, so everything should be fine. Well, we fast forward to September 9th, 2020. And how I know it was September 9th was because that was Yogi's birthday. And I'd gotten him a new ball to play with, and we were playing. And I started to move as he went underneath my feet, and I was afraid I was going to step on him. So I twisted myself and ended up grabbing a hold of an armoire that I had there in the hallway, and it started to topple. So I pushed it back against the wall, and I fell really hard on my tailbone. And it hurt like heck. But I let it go until pretty much till the end of October, and then I couldn't stand the pain any longer. And I got into so much pain on a weekend. It was on a Saturday afternoon. I couldn't take it anymore, so I drove myself to the emergency room. And they did X-rays and stuff and said that, you know, I had bruised my tailbone, and that, you know, there's really nothing they could do. But I was just kind of thrilled that, you know, nothing else was wrong. But they said, you know, I wanted to know when the last time I had a checkup, et cetera. And I said, oh, well, not back in 2013. They said, well, we've already assigned you a doctor, and they went into the trouble and went ahead and made me an appointment. So I went to the doctor and, you know, said, oh yeah, I'm healthy. Everything is good, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it was a really nice lady doctor. And she said, well, you know, since you're here already, you know, let's go ahead and get you scheduled for a mammogram. I'm like, ugh, you know, they're not fun. They're painful. And I've always been uncomfortable with them. And especially back then I was very large chested, and it was extremely painful. And I was always self-conscious about them as well. So, I go and I get the mammogram, you know, I get all the other checkups, everything else is fine. My blood pressure was a little high, but other than that, everything was good. So I go about my business, and first part of November, I get a call from the doctor's office saying that they had found something on the scan, and they figured it was probably some fatty tissue. And because my breasts were very dense, and so they just came to the conclusion they thought it was just fatty tissue, but they felt that they needed to go ahead and do another scan just to verify. So I go and I do another scan, and they showed up again, and they scheduled me then for a biopsy. And when you hear the word biopsy for the first time, it's not a good feeling. It's very scary, it's very intimidating. But I thought, oh, Peggy, you just gotta let it go. You know, it's going to be fine. The angels have your back. It's all good. You haven't felt anything, you know, haven't felt a lump or anything like that. So it's all good, right? So I'm talking to myself the whole time they're doing this biopsy. And the worst thing about having a biopsy, for those of you who are either getting ready to face it or have to eventually go through it, to me, it's the fact that you're laying there vulnerable, and there's nothing really that you can do. You know, you're there, and you've got people around you, and you know, they're taking a snip out of you. You know, it's very it was scary. But the ladies were extremely comforting and all that. So I got through that, and I thought, okay, now we're all good. So then on I think it was the I want to say it was the 9th or 10th of November, I got a call from the doctor's office, and they said that the doctor wanted to have a FaceTime call with me right then and there. Well, I was at work, and I said, well, hold on a second. So I got up and I closed the door. And she asked if I had somebody there at the office that could come sit with me. And I said, no, I don't need anybody to come sit with me. I thought, what? We're just going to talk about the biopsy, no big deal. And to this day, I can't tell you what else she said once she said, you have cancer. I lost it. I totally freaked out. It was said that I screamed bloody murder. I don't remember that. But I had two of the girls from the office come in to my office, and they saw I was still on the phone. So they backed out of the office, and I got myself together. And I had just had a new boss come in, and I didn't like him. He was just an arrogant asshole, if you pardon the expression. He just wasn't a nice person. And there was no way in hell I was going to call him and tell him. He was out of town at another plant, and there was no way I was going to call him and tell him that I needed to go home because I needed to adjust to the fact I had breast cancer. I needed to get myself together, and I couldn't do it at that facility. So after I got off the phone with the doctor, I called one of the girls in and told them what had happened, that I'd been diagnosed with cancer, and I just couldn't deal with work that day, and they would just have to, call the boss if they wanted to, whatever they had to do, but I was going home. And on the way home, I got really pissed at God and told him, I'm not going out I'm not going out this way. I know myself well enough to know that I did not write this in as my way of leaving. I know this is not my exit. I'm not taking it. I haven't had my happily ever after yet, my good, healthy relationship, and I'm not leaving until I get it. So, yeah, I kind of went over it kind of went over the top, But when you get news like that, it changes you. And I've talked with some other friends of mine who've had cancer. And the one thing that we're all very adamant about, and other people who don't have cancer, have never had the diagnosis, still don't get it, is once you get that diagnosis of cancer, no matter what stage, no matter what kind, it changes you forever. You no longer look at life the same way. It takes something away from you, but also it gifts you with the clearer understanding of what really matters in your life and what doesn't. And you'll notice that people who before would talk to you about different things, now everyone's afraid to talk to you. Oh my gosh, is this catching? It's the old school. When cancer first came out, if somebody talked about so-and-so having cancer, it was all hush hush. You couldn't talk about it. Another taboo subject. And especially I feel for women who have breast cancer, because it takes a part, it's affecting your body. And you have to face that reality that things are not going to be the same, that something's going to change. Other women look at you differently. Men definitely look at you differently, especially if you're talking in a group or whatever. And I've laughed with this with a friend of mine who had breast cancer as well. You mentioned having breast cancer and then having a mastectomy. Invariably, 9 out of 10 people will, your eyes will drop to your chest to see, oh, I didn't notice. Oh, she didn't have breasts. Oh, maybe she has implants. Oh, but you can see the process. And it just changes the communication. Hold on 1 second here. I just got a message. Can everybody hear me okay? Let's see here. Okay, well, if you guys are not hearing me, make sure you let me know in the chat room. Let's see here. Let me send. Give me 1 second here. I'm going to give Jay a little message and see whether or not. Hold on 1 second. Okay, so I'll just keep talking. We'll find out. I'll have Jay check it out and see what's going on. But anyhow, it really changes you. Once you get that diagnosis, it really changes you forever. So, if you've got somebody that you know that's been diagnosed or has a problem, you need to still reach out to them, still talk to them. Make sure that they know that you still care, that you're still going to treat them like you always did. Don't ignore them and make them feel even more alone than what they already do. When you get that diagnosis, it really You take a step back in your own life and just go, wow, this is the stuff I was worried about day before yesterday, and now I have a cancer diagnosis, and now none of that crap matters. This is what matters. I want to live. I want to be around to watch my granddaughter get married. I want to, see her have her kids, and I want to go through all that stuff. I'm not ready to give up. I don't think any of us already at the time. If it's our time, obviously you get to that point, that's when you signed up to check out. That's my belief. But my first thought when I got home that day was I wanted to call Haley. For those of you who don't know, she's my granddaughter. And I just wanted to get comfort from her. And but at the same time, I thought, oh gosh, she's got finals this week. There's no way I can call her and disrupt her finals when I really don't know. I don't have a game plan yet. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how this works. I don't know. I don't know anything other than the fact that I've got cancer. And I had been so upset with the doctor when she told me I couldn't tell you what stage or what it was. I was so not expecting the diagnosis of a cancer that I blocked out everything that she said. So I thought, okay, Haley's coming down for Thanksgiving, so we'll just let it go for right now. And once she gets here, hopefully by the time she gets here, I'll have some answers for her. So I called my best friend here in Kansas and talked with her, and she had been through lung cancer, so she totally got what I was saying. And she understood my fears and concerns, and that I had a couple of people in the Phoenix area that I reached out to as well, because you're just, I think part of it's denial, but part of it, that's your new reality, and you've got to be able to get it together, because you've always been the strength for the family. So you just because you have cancer doesn't mean you can stop that. I mean, that's my thought process. So I got a hold of another friend of mine who was, she had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and she had had, I can't think of what the term, she didn't have, she had like a biopsy done, or they did a partial mastectomy on one the breast that she had the cancer in. And then she underwent radiation and chemo. And so she walked me through certain things, and I tell you, she was a godsend. I mean, there's little things that when you get that diagnosis, you have no clue of what world it enters you into, the things that you have to do differently, the things you have to think about, and once you have your surgery, whether you're going to have just one breast removed or both of them removed, what's best for you, in your circumstances with your diagnosis. I did a ton of research because of her, and I'll be forever grateful for her. But based on everything that I had been told, plus the fact that I come from a big family, I guess you could say, with cancer as part of our history. My grandmother was one of 13 children. 12 out of 13 died of cancer, some form. So when I went and visited the surgeon, and I already told them that I wanted a double mastectomy, and they'd only found it in the one. She goes, well, I recommend doing it this way, blah, blah, blah. And I looked at her, I told her, I said, I've done the study already, and everything that I've read and researched says that once cancer shows up in one breast, if you don't have both of them removed within that 5-year period, it shows up in the other breast. And I said, I'm not going through this twice. Psychologically, I can't deal with it. I said, it's you're gonna. She goes, well, I really think you should. And I told her, I said, I'm not changing my mind. She goes, well, maybe we should schedule another appointment. I said, for what? I'm telling you now, my insurance will cover it. Because of my family history with cancer, I'm not going through this twice. So let's get this show on the road. Because this is like, again, this is November. And I'd already paid in my co-pays and all that stuff. And I didn't want to have to start the new year paying all these co-pays all over again and have a huge hospital bill. I said, we need all this done by the end of the year. long story short, we made it through all that. But for those women out there who've just been recently diagnosed, or if you know somebody who's recently been diagnosed, have them do the research based on whatever type of breast cancer they have, whatever stage it is. You know, see if the studies are still the same as what they were back then, you know, within that 5-year period. And they also say, even if you have both your breasts removed, there's still a chance that it can come back. So you have to be checked regularly. But a lot of women, unfortunately, don't find the resources to have somebody to talk to about the things that you go through. The psychological damage that it can cause you is tremendous. And I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying you need to find the resources for somebody to talk to, because unless you've been through it, you don't understand that, you know, when you go to the reconstruction surgery or the surgeon, and they talk about putting in expanders, you know, because 9 out of 10 women, you know, you think, oh, these women went and had breast, you know, new breasts put in, and they think it's all just one simple surgery. 9 out of 10 women can't have the old breasts removed and then the implants put in the same. They're not healthy enough. You have to be like in tip top 1000% shape, healthy to have that kind of surgery. 9 out of 10 women have to go in where, when they remove the breasts, they put in these expanders. And it's very painful because then I think I was like maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And then you start going into the doctor's office and they take this long needle with this fluid in there and they inject it into the breast, that little new little binder they've got in there. And it expands that tissue to where they're going to put your implants in. It's very painful. And I even asked for some deadening. They said by the time it gets in there, it'll be too, you know, the deadening wouldn't have worked anyway. So, I mean, they do all these things. And then the day before, 2 days before surgery, I had to go to the specialty doctor who was going to put the implants in. And he does all this drawing on you of where they're going to remove, which side they're going to remove first and second, and how they're going to take this out. And, you know, you don't look, you don't pay attention, and they're drawing on you with a permanent inker, permanent marker. And again, I didn't think anything about it. I got home that evening and I was going to take a shower, and I dropped my robe to get into the shower, and I saw this figure in the mirror that it made me think I was Frankenstein, and I lost it. You know, I was so thankful that Haley was there. But again, it's these little things that happen that you don't know about. And you need somebody that you can talk to about it. So again, if you know somebody who's going through this or is getting ready to go through it, talk with them. Let them know there's, you know, the breast cancer associations, there's so many of them. You could go and talk with somebody, get a counselor, get somebody that can help you, walk you through the steps and saying, this is things to look for. You know, I was so thankful because of my friend, these older ladies in the community got together with the Breast Cancer Association there in Phoenix, and they made these little heart pillows. I meant to take a picture of it and post it. I'll do that later. But and what they're for, believe it or not, you don't think about it. When you leave the hospital, you have to ride home, right? Well, you still need to have a seat belt on, and that sucker hurts going across your chest. And so they have these little heart pillows that are just adorable, and they're cushioned. And you put it between yourself and the seatbelt. So there's little things you can do to help other women that are going through it. But women really need to stick together through this stuff. You know, again, with the breast cancer awareness, talk to your best friend, talk to your mom, talk to your daughter, talk to your granddaughter. See where they stand on things, see how they're feeling. You know, make sure that they know how to do the self-check. Make sure that they're going once a year to get their exams done to follow up with it. Because again, I was so blessed and so lucky. I didn't have to have radiation or chemo. And they found it quick enough that we could react the way that we did. And again, I thank God and the angels for that. If I hadn't been playing ball with Yogi that day and had him caused me to fall and to jar my back the way it did, I would have never gone to the doctor. And by the time I went to the doctor, I probably wouldn't be here now. It probably would have been too late. So follow up on that yearly exam. You know, if you can't take the mammogram, because it's like for me now, because I have implants, the mammogram is, it's not something that it works for me. So now I have, it's called ultrasound. I get an ultrasound done. But again, women who have the dense breasts, you need to go get checked. You know, make sure. And if the mammogram's too much, ask them if you can get the ultrasound, if that would work for you. You know, I had it done in Flagstaff before I moved here. And God, it's so much better than the mammogram. But again, you know, the mammogram I think detects better than what the ultrasound does, but it depends on which research you look at. You know, I think the ultrasound picks up pretty darn good. So they had found one for me in when I was in Flagstaff. Thankfully, it wasn't cancerous. And they did a biopsy on it and took it out, and everything was good. But again, it's cancer is an ugly thing to get. You know, there's nothing joyous about it. But if you can catch it early enough, you know, it's a blessing. I'm truly. It took me a while, pardon me, to get to the point to where I was grateful for the experiences I've gone through. And I think the biggest thing that I can do is to share the knowledge I've been through with those who are going through it or getting ready to go through it or have been through it, if they need somebody to talk to, because I've been through it, I know. You know, it changes you. And people who still to this day don't get the fact of why I'm not the same way I was before 2020, don't get it. They're like they don't understand why my point of view is more forthright and more direct and more I don't put up with BS anymore. You know, I just life's too short. And I was blessed with that gift of going through what I've gone through and coming out the other side to where I could share what I've gone through with other women, to where they could share it. You know, if we all have that little head start, so to speak, on making sure that we still stay healthy, you know, then go for it. You know, again, like I said, make friends, you know, make plans with your best friend or a circle of you, and all go get your exams done together, you know, and make a day out of it. Instead of something that, oh God, this is painful and it's horrible, but it can save your life. You know, I'm so blessed that Yogi caused me to fall that day. Because I truly believe had I not gone in, I wouldn't be here today. So, okay, guys, it looks like it's time for a break. So I hope you'll stay tuned. We're going to break for about 5 minutes. When we come back, I'll jump in the chat room and see who's in there and see what questions we can get answered for you. We'll be back in 5. Welcome back, everyone. This is Peggy. My show is Oh My Angels on 12radio.com, where we are changing the way you listen to your angels. I hope you enjoyed the first half of the show. I'm going to jump here into the chat room and see who we've got all in here. Okay, first up is Michelle Hendricks, my friend from Arizona. She says, good morning, Peggy, Yogi, and Jay. And of course, she brings up, how about our 5-0 Chiefs? It was a good, I'm a huge Chiefs fan. But I love them to pieces, but they're about make me have a heart attack. I get so stressed out. Plus the fact our Kansas City Royals are in the playoffs and they played the Yankees last night and they beat the Yankees. So go Royals, go Chiefs. So yes. So welcome to the show, Michelle. I appreciate it. And Kay Dragon. You guys all know Kay from 1-2 Listen, and she's on 1-2 Radio as well on Thursday. Is that right? Thursdays, and her new time is at 10 a.m. Pacific. I think she was at 11 p.m. or 11 a.m. Pacific, and now she's at 10 a.m. She's jumped up an hour. So you guys need to listen to her and Maureen. Their show is great. It's called Strands of Wisdom. And Maureen is in the house. She says, good morning, Peggy, Jay, and 1-2 Friends. And she goes, Chiefs are looking good. Yes, they are. She goes, Peggy, if you have time, I would love a birthday message for my angels, if time permits. And she gave her birthday. Many thanks. Yeah, Maureen, the first thing that I thought was, you know, besides happy birthday, is you need to just let go of the old stuff. You know, and when I heard that, I thought, okay, I was reading that while I was on break, and I looked at the horoscope, angel scope that I put in on the website, and for Libra, which yours says pleasure, relax, have fun, let the good times roll. You need to release the old worn out patterns of learning through pain and suffering alone and begin to learn through joy, inspiration, and pleasure. It's time to leave the miserable energy of the past behind. Relax, enjoy life, everything will be okay. And I do feel like things are turning for you, but I think that what they're stressing is the fact this, it's a choice, it's up to you. Do you want to continue the old patterns of the past of how you've always dealt with things? Or are you ready to let go of that and try something new, which is to relax and learn through, learn your lessons without the drama? Years ago, it seemed like the only way I could learn a lesson, the only way the angels could get through to me is through all the drama. And then I decided I didn't want drama in my life anymore. And so I changed my affirmation to I need to move forward and to learn with grace and ease. I no longer accept drama. And come up with whatever affirmation that you want. But I think if you do something like that, you're going to see things. You're still got the lessons you've got to learn, right? But they don't have to be drama filled and they don't have to be so much pain filled either. Okay. So it feels like it's a good birthday gift for you. So enjoy. Happy birthday. And Jay said he's checking in with everybody, checking on the broadcast, how you're listening. I guess we had some maybe trouble through the app or something. So hopefully that's all straightened out. Hopefully everybody can hear everything that's been going on. Let's see. Kay asked if anyone else lost sound. I guess we're doing okay there. Maureen says, Peggy, you're so right. After a cancer diagnosis, as working in oncology as a patient navigator, got 28 years, every day is a gift. It truly is, Maureen, and we forget that. We hear other people get these diseases and diagnoses, and we just go about our lives thinking like, la la la, okay, I don't want to focus too much on that because then, geez, maybe I'll have to do something. You know what I'm saying? And then when you get the diagnosis yourself, it changes everything. And it can be very debilitating to where you almost like freeze in space. You don't know how to move. You don't know what to do. And, things that you thought were important, and even an hour before you got the diagnosis, no longer seem to matter. And we need more people to step up to the plate and help those who get the new diagnosis. Then there needs to be more help on the front end. And also on the back end as well, too. You get home and, the littlest things you can't do that you could do before because you can't raise your hands up over your shoulders. You can't lift this so much weight. And, what if you don't have anybody else around you and you've got to have groceries? Well, some of these companies now will bring the groceries to your door or even bring them inside the house, but then you've got to get raise them up and get them on the counter. You've got, so you really need to reach out to the local sources. And they need to be funded and be able to get the information out to people who need it. The resource, pardon me, the resources for going to get new bras, and things that you're going to have to wear prior to getting a bra that's going to fit you once you get your implants, if that's what you choose to do. So it's really, it's very important that you check out all your resources, do the research, if you're a friend of someone who's gone through all that, or someone's going through it, then help them with the research. Look up the stuff and see the things that they need to focus on, what organizations will help you get back and forth to your doctor's appointments, what organizations will help you come in and do things at your house or apartment that you can't do. Who can help you with your animals if you have those? There's so many things that you don't think of. The laundry, doing laundry. Because I had a friend who'd gone through it, I got my laundry that I used and I put it in small bottles and had it sit on the washing machine so I didn't have to lift anything. And so, but there's little tricks and stuff. You sit canned goods down on the out on the counter and stuff up on a shelf or whatever, where you don't have to raise things up and down. There's so many things to know and to learn. And the worst thing you can do when you're going through this is to feel helpless. Like you don't have the knowledge. If you don't have knowledge, you don't have power, and it's bad enough you've got a part of your body that's been removed and you don't feel like a woman anymore. So you need something to where you've got control over it. So if you've got control over, okay, I'm going to empower myself. I'm going to lower the canned goods down onto the countertop. I'm going to put my dishes that I'm going to use out on the countertop. I'm going to switch over to paper plates where I don't have to worry about running the dishwasher or washing dishes or whatever you can do, or you're going to sign people up. When people offer to help, don't turn away. Don't be so proud that you go, oh no, I don't need help. I don't need help, because you're going to need help. And if you're that friend, offer the help. And even if they say no, offer it again. Bring them something by, bring them some flowers, bring them, a stack of paper plates, Bring them something that's going to make them laugh. Bring them a balloon, you know? Bring them a teddy bear. But just keep doing that. Let them know that you're there. So, again, I can get all wrapped up in it. Sorry about that. Let's go here. Let's see. Maya is here. She says, good morning. Oh, she said she can't hear from the 1-2 radio thing either. So I think Jay fixed that. Maya's here. She wanted Peggy to know that she was correct. 9/10/24. Thank you for the warning. She said, major changes at work and you were spot on. Still employed for now, but they turned everything upside down out of nowhere. I think it'll be their downfall. And I think you're correct. So I'm glad that you got the warning and you were prepared for it. I do feel like I think you will be leaving there, but I think it's going to be your choice. So good for you. You know, stay strong. You know, maybe they'll give you a severance package or whatever. But again, I feel like it's going to be your call if and when you leave. Okay. So glad to hear it. Pamela Snow put a little emoji in there with a heart right back at you. Kat said, good morning. Would be interested in an angel reading for myself or family. Okay. Let's see here. Okay. The first thing I'm hearing for you is some shifts and changes as well. It feels like it feels almost like the word that's coming to the top is turmoil. Feels like there's like a family issue. And it feels like the reason it's a turmoil, it feels like no one's really talking about it. They're talking about it, but not talking about it, if that makes sense. The communication lines need to be opened. I'm hearing call family meeting. Get everybody sit down together and say, let's just talk this out. You know, there's a lot of love there. But I feel like there's a lot of pain as well. So I think that you guys just need to have a big old hug and a talk fest, if you will. Not everybody's going to be excited about that, but I think you guys need to clear the air and do it with grace and ease and not with anger. You know, come from a loving place when you make the invitation for the meeting and gathering the people together. It's just, you know, a love talk is what you need, you know. So I think it's just over some misconceptions and somebody not understanding a conversation. So good luck to you. Take care. Maureen said, Peggy, you're so spot on so many patients are lost in an abyss and don't know which direction to go. That's true. I mean, you're just all over the place. She goes, support is there, but so many practices just focus on the money, not the patient. And that's why you stepped away. I understand that. And, you know, I was very fortunate because I had a friend who had just recently gone through it. So she was able to guide me to some of the facilities there in the Phoenix area that I had never even heard of. And I was so grateful to her, especially when you go and you have to get fitted for this special contraction. It's kind of like a vest, but it goes over your breast area or whatever. You have drains and stuff coming out of you for their, I don't remember how many weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks or whatever. And you have to keep all these upright and not get certain areas wet and whatever. But those people were, the women were just wonderful. And I think that the women that worked there were so distraught about what I was getting ready to go through. I ended up making them laugh, you know, because they were crying because what I was going through. And I felt bad for them because they were having to fit me, right? And so I would make jokes with them. And you know, my heart and hat goes off to everyone who works in oncology because I don't think I could do it. You know, you just have to. They were so good to the patients and so loving and kind and supportive. And so that's what you need when you're going through something like that. So if you know somebody that's going through it, help them get some people around them that can give them the emotional and physical support. And there's a lot of companies and support groups and stuff that also offer monetary resources. So help them find these other groups in your area that can help them. Pam says, sorry, I missed the beginning of the show. This is a great info. I have dense breasts also, and a regular mammogram is excruciating for me. Look into the ultrasound option. No wonder why women don't like to get mammograms. Pamela, when I had mine done, I was so, because I had already had my implants put in. This is when I was up in Flagstaff, and they had found this one thing that was on, it was not on the implant itself, but it was they thought maybe it was the scar tissue from the original surgery. And instead it was just a, I don't know what it was, but it wasn't cancer. It was benign. But they, how they found it was with the ultrasound. And so it was, I loved it. I thought, oh my God. And I've done some research, and especially with women with dense breasts, they want you to have the mammogram first, right? Because it can pick up some things that maybe the ultrasound can't, but the ultrasound can pick up some things that the mammogram can't. So they kind of like to work them hand in hand, you know? But yeah, the ultrasound was just like, oh my God, this, if you have to have it done, if you can get it done and it's the right one for you, then go for it. I'm telling you, it's like, yeah, it's like a treat compared to the mammogram. Okay, Karen says, my daughter seems to not care about me or want a relationship. I'm heartbroken. What messages do my angels have? Okay, the first thing I get is the fact that it's not that your daughter doesn't care about you or want a relationship. I'm feeling like she's in real pain, and she's lashing out at you and blaming you for her circumstances because she doesn't want to have to face what she's done or said herself. So what I'm saying is give her time right now. Just continue to let her know that you love her and that you're there for her when she's ready to talk. And no matter what mean, hateful things she says or does or whatever, you have to let her know that you love her and you care about her. You know, I mean, I'm not saying don't let her abuse you in any way, but at the same time, know that she's coming from some real pain. It feels like there's some situations that you don't know about. That she's not ready to share, but she's taking that pain and lashing out at you. What's the old saying? They say the people who love you the most will hurt you the most. Which never made sense to me, but it seems to be a reality, unfortunately. So, but I think your daughter will come around. I'm just saying, don't give up on her. I think it's something that she's having to go through, whatever lesson that she signed up for. Just every time you think about her, put her in a pink cloud and ask the angels to surround her and protect her. And she's got to release this anger some way or the other, and hopefully she can do it in a constructive manner. So just every time you think about her again, see her in the pink cloud, and then just puts that love all around her. Okay. Suzanne says, good morning, Peggy. Thank you for sharing your story. I'm so glad you are well. Health issues certainly do change you and clarify priorities. I have a doctor's appointment tomorrow to discuss a medication issue. Any insight would be very appreciated. Blessings to you. Let's see. Well, you know, we don't give out medical advice or whatever, but I'm hearing for you that it feels like the doctor is going to get to the root of the problem. It feels like I'm hearing the word spot on. So I'm hearing you've got to trust your gut, trust that you've been led to this doctor for a reason, and I'm hearing you've got to make sure that you're totally honest with him or her, with everything that's going on. It feels like maybe you've given like 98% of the information, but I think it's the other 2% that the doctor needs to know, especially regarding this particular medication. So, I'm saying stay open. I'm hearing stay open to that. And be honest, you've got to, you know, they don't know what they don't know, and they can't help you get better if they don't know all the facts. And then there's some doctors that, all sincerity, some doctors just don't listen to you. I've had that happen a time or two, and that's why I've changed doctors. I just, especially since my cancer diagnosis, because this was my second one. The first one, I had ovarian cancer when I was 32. So, I'm no stranger to cancer, but I think the difference too for both of them, and When I was 32 and I was diagnosed with it, cancer didn't own me. I never owned that I had cancer. It was just like, okay, yeah, I've got cancer, get it out, we'll go on from here. You know what I'm saying? And that's what worked for me at the time, right? This time, I still was in shock most of the time. I can't believe this has happened. And then when the reality hit that yes, this is what I've got, and yes, this is the procedure I'm going to have to go through, then I took, the bull by the horns, so to speak, and said, okay, if we're going to do it, it's going to do it my way. And one of the things, again, I will tell you, is because of my diagnosis, it was the right decision for me. They just wanted to give me radiation and whatever, and remove the one little spot, and that was it. And because of cancer in my family, I said, no, everything I read, the best thing for me to do is a double mastectomy. You're not going to take a partial. You're not going to take just one. You're going to take both. But that's, again, what worked best for me with the diagnosis I had and with my family history. So I recommend, if you know of anybody that has just gotten a breast cancer diagnosis, that they research. What stage is it? What's this? What's that? What are the best things now? Because things have changed even in the since 2020 when I had it, things have changed. So they need to do what's best for them. The doctor kept saying, no, we just need to do this. I said, no, my insurance will pay for this, and this is how I'm dealing with it, because I trusted my instinct, I trusted the angels on it. Then that was the right decision for me. So again, be your own advocate. Stand up for yourself. Just because they say this is what we're going to do, research it and see if that resonates with you. If it doesn't resonate with you, find another way. And I'm very adamant about that. Okay, you guys, I've kind of run out of time here, so I'll wrap this up. Thank you all so very much for you guys showing up here. It means the world to me. I love doing this show and I love doing readings. So if you need a reading, you can find me over at One Two Listen. Check out my website and check out the angel scopes. As always, take what resonates with you from this show, let go of the rest. Thank Jay for producing my show. He does a wonderful job. Thank you all for showing up. I highly encourage you to all stay tuned and listen to the amazing CA Brooks on her show, Everyday Astrology. Then following CA is the Empowerment Show with Kelly Whetstone. Then it's a Katie Weaver show. And then last but not least is the Christina LaFrance show. So you guys got a day filled with wonderful people here on One Two Radio. Until next Tuesday, I'm sending you all blessings, light, love, and angel hugs. Take care and get those mammograms.